Show on Sonic 1029.
As for Koenig of Vampire Weekend.
Hey, how's it going?
So talk to me about this new album of yours.
Well, it's all done. We're just starting to, you know, get out there, play shows, little by little adding new songs to the set.
Now, a couple of tracks from this new album are bouncing around online. Diane Young is one of them, which is a little more production-intensive than anything we heard on Contra. Do you think that's an accurate representation of what we can expect from this new album?
Well, every album that we make, it's kind of its own little world, and the songs all go together, but there's definitely a lot of variety. So there's plenty of surprises on the rest of the record. But I do think the two songs that we've released so far give a kind of idea of what's going on the record. Like, they show kind of two sides of the band, and there's, you know, there's complex production stuff on this record. There's also probably some of our simplest moments, so it's a little hard to summarize.
Well, the album art, and even the lyric video for Step, they're black and white, they're kind of bleak, they're depressed looking, Is this a darker album?
Well, there were times where we used the word darker to describe it, but I don't know, not everybody agrees with that. I think this album has some of the darkest moments, maybe, that we've done as a band. But, you know, then there's also moments of joy and fast, punky things happening. So it's hard to, like, sum up in any one word. But definitely there's, like, some new moods on the record.
Back in, 2011, you guys started laying down tracks for this album, like late 2011.
Yeah.
The album in the works was tentatively titled LP3. And this was right up until, like, a couple of months ago. Was that a working title?
Oh, no, we were never actually thinking about calling it that, but that's kind of just like what people at our label call every record. So, like, you know, LP1, LP2, LP3. So I think a lot of our fans, like, would start to talk about it as LP3, so definitely, like, caught on a little bit, but we never actually considered that as a title.
Ezra, you guys were featured in Q Magazine, I think it was last month, and you described, you know, this album is having, you know, sort of a darker, more organic feel, blah, 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 blah. But also you said very much the last of a trilogy. Now what?
Well, that's the question. I mean, we don't have to worry about it for a second, but I really do feel like these three records do kind of form a unit. And I think I always think of these three records as going together. As for the fourth one, it's a little hard for me to say, but I think now, having made three albums, having, like, figured out kind of what the band can do and figured out how we can change and grow but still kind of, like, always maintain our identity as Vampire Weekend, kind of the future feels exciting. Like, we can kind of go anywhere.
Well, if you had to summarize the story arc of these three albums, what would it be?
I mean, our albums are always kind of about ourselves, the people that we know. And if I had to sum them all up, I guess it is kind of just a coming-of-age story or something. You know, the first album is very much the kind of naive school days, very collegiate record, pretty carefree. To me, the second album is kind of like, you know, leaving that zone. Our world expanded a lot. It kind of coincided with the period where we started touring all the time and, you know, kind of becoming professional musicians. And to me, the third album is kind of like a slightly deeper return back to New York. So if I had to sum it up in the simplest way possible, it's a little bit of a here and there and back again vibe. And I definitely think, you know, if I look back on the three, the first one is kind of like our early 20s, and this one's our late 20s. So there's definitely all, like, the life changes that happen in that time period feel, like, reflected to me in these albums.
Well, the first single is Diane Young, and then there's another song bouncing around online called Step. But I noticed on your Facebook page, you know, Step has 9,000 likes or something, and Diane Young is like 5,000. Do you pay attention to stuff like that? I mean, do you use social networking as sort of a gauge for how a song is doing or how an album is doing? Does that factor in?
I don't really have much perspective on what's a respectable number of likes on Facebook. Yeah, of course we want. It's a pretty big deal, you know, the day you finally release music after all this talk about your record. In some ways, it's the biggest part of the process. Obviously, the album comes, but the first time that you drop some music, that's kind of like the scariest part. So I've actually just been thrilled with the response so far.
Well, and you guys released the album name through a classified ad in the New York Times. What spawned that idea?
That was actually just the guy who signed us, Imran, who's based in the UK at the London office of our label. we'd already been kind of like teasing the title a little bit because we'd kept putting the initials in the artwork that we were unleashing. So a lot of our fans were already trying to guess what does MVOTC stand for. So we knew that in one way or another, we had to like finally let everybody know the full title. And we kind of wanted to do it in a creative way. And then he came up with this idea, I think partially because the album had a few connections to the New York Times. Like the album cover was originally taken by a New York Times photographer in the 60s. There's like a lyrical reference. So I think that's kind of how he came to it. So he said, what if you guys just take out a little ad in the Times? And we said, yeah, not bad. We weren't sure if anybody would see it, but it's kind of nice that before it, you know, hit the internet and everybody knew about it, it got its start in just an old school newspaper.
Well, you guys have some big plans for the summer. I mean, Coachella, Sasquatch, Squamish. Do you like doing the festival shows? Is that sort of the ideal?
I see them as two very different things. We've had some amazing times at festivals, but and it can be really exciting to be like playing the main stage of a festival, like the number of people you're playing for at like a huge festival like Glastonbury or something. You know, it's pretty amazing to do that for the first time. But now that we have three albums worth of songs, I think it's going to be fun to kind of put together different types of sets and, you know, have some time to experiment about what works at a festival versus what works at a Vampire Weekend headline concert, because they're not exactly the same thing. There's things I like about both of them.
I would almost feel as an artist maybe that there's a frustration there that, you know, it's like, oh, you've got 20 minutes to play, and it's like you're pretty much relegated to the hits, you know?
Right. I mean, and at a festival, you have to keep in mind you're probably playing for some people who've never seen you before. You're probably playing for some people who haven't heard your albums all the way through. So, yeah, definitely you want to keep that in mind.
Well, when can we expect Vampire Weekend back in Edmonton? I saw you guys at, what was it, the Edmonton Event Center, the little place in the mall?
Yeah, sure. I remember
and,
that.
Yeah, you guys were incredible. I'm looking forward to seeing you again.
I'm not sure exactly. We're still kind of putting together the rest of our dates for the year. But definitely it'll happen sometime on this record. I wish I knew exactly, but we're still kind of like working the kinks out of the schedule for the rest of the year.
You can pre-order Modern Vampires of the City from iTunes, and you get Diane Young instantly. And the album comes out May 13th. Thank you so much, Ezra Koenig.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
Catch this interview and other off-air highlights in this week's Lane Mitchell Show podcast, free on iTunes and at sonic1029.com.